With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Am I the only one who laughed, and I did actually laugh, when I saw that the Jacksonville Jaguars would like a pair of first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey? A pair. Not just one. Not one. But two. Two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. Now, we talked about the Jalen Ramsey trade demand on our last show. And even going back to Sunday, he was in the spotlight because of the verbal altercation and the teammates who had to step in between him and head coach Doug Marrone. Not the first time that Jalen Ramsey has been animated, anxious, upset, frustrated, expressing his concerns for all the world to see. We find out that he wants a trade out of Jacksonville, though there is some dispute about how the news was leaked. We'll get to that. And not only does he want a new home in the NFL, but he wants a new coach. He wants new personnel around him. And he also wants a new contract. So he's in the fourth year of his rookie deal. The option was picked up for 2020. He wants more money. Extra dinero. I mean, that is kind of the name of the game these days in the NFL. So we'll see whether or not the Jaguars get a pair of first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. If they do, I will laugh out loud even harder. Now, one first-round pick I can see. We just saw a first-round pick traded from Pittsburgh to Miami for Minkah Fitzpatrick. But two first-round picks? Who's got two first-round picks? I guess the Dolphins do, if they want to replace Fitzpatrick with Ramsey. Wow, that seems like a really steep price. Maybe it's because the Jaguars are not all that intent on trading Mr. Ramsey. It's Mr. Ramsey's neighborhood. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being part of our hump show. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get Mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll let you hear the candidates for Touchdown Tuesday coming up in the next 15 minutes. You still have a couple hours to vote, and we'll reveal your choice. It's a very tight race between two incredible wide receivers. And actually, all four of the touchdowns this week are wide receivers, but two in particular are pacing the field, and right now they're neck and neck. And I'm not sure their personalities could be any different. But they were both huge touchdowns. One was a piece of history as well. So we'll let you hear those candidates again coming up. But in the meantime, you can vote on Twitter. And you can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, as well as on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. While you're on social media, my new column is pinned to the top of our Facebook page, and I've also tweeted it, so it's out there. I'm sure producer Chris can make it available on our show Twitter. Ooh, and CBS Sports Radio Twitter as well. But it's all about quarterbacks because we're obsessed with the quarterbacks, but it's also the most important position on the field. And so I went through every team that had its world turned upside down in week number two. And then I included the Giants as well because they're about to make a franchise-changing decision at their quarterback spot. So I went through Steelers, Saints, Jets, Panthers, which this news broke on Tuesday. Now, I don't know that it's shocking to hear that Cam Newton is still physically not right. But it's not his shoulder. I get there's some good news there. He's still trying to shake off the rust from that shoulder surgery in the offseason. And then he sprained his foot in the preseason and had to miss more time. Well, now we're waiting to find out if he'll be able to go in week number 3. So I went through the details of that and then talked about the Giants as well. So I'd love for you to check out the column. It's different part of my brain when I write about football as opposed to talk about football. And you guys are always so gracious to read them. And so when you check it out, you can react. So again, the link is out there, and it's also just straight up on our CBS Sports Radio website. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Jalen Ramsey, let's go back to Jalen Ramsey. Let's talk DBs for a bit. He makes me laugh. Because in his opinion, as is the case in, I think, most of these trade requests, the grass is always greener somewhere else. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially on that defensive side of the ball, have some very strong personalities. And they're a bit volatile. So we know, even going back to last season, that they had multiple kind of, I don't want to call them explosion, might be too strong, but multiple reports of guys yelling at each other in the locker room and the defense getting animated. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, unless, of course, it prevents them from doing their job. Unless, of course, it's toying with the chemistry and tearing apart the chemistry inside the locker room. And also, it's not just grass is greener. But how about, I like my cake and I'd like to eat it too. This reminds me of the Anthony Davis situation with the Pelicans. After he and his camp made it public that they wanted to trade, then they still wanted to play. Yeah, I mean, you don't get the best of both worlds. So, I don't know. It doesn't sound like the Jags are too keen on trading him. If they're asking for 2 first-round picks right now, 2 first-round picks. There are only so many teams that can even do that. But just the idea that Minkah Fitzpatrick was traded for 1, and now the Jags are asking for 2. So Ramsey not only wants out, he wants to play, which makes me laugh. Which is it? Make up your mind. You want out or you want to play? But yeah, he's definitely requesting a trade. He's not backing down from that. But as long as he's still with the Jaguars, you know, he wants to be on the field.
If I have a long, I'm going to be here. I'm going to continue giving my all out there. All I care about is winning, man. Everybody know that. I want to fucking win. Straight up. Now, I excuse my language, but. But shit, everybody know that.
Wait, that's who I am. Do we need to dump that? Because I heard those words very clearly. Wait, somebody jump in because I could hear them in my headphones, the full swear words.
No, it was like they like censored it out. It wasn't a bleep, but it was a...
No, like I'm telling you, I could hear the full F word in my headphones. You, like, I could hear it. Anybody else just hear what Jalen Ramsey said? Because in my headphones, I heard 2 SHITs and 1 F-bomb. Just, like, I get what you're saying. They didn't bleep it, but they tried to get it to drop out. But I tell you, from where I'm sitting right here, I just heard the full F-bomb. But if you're telling me nobody else heard it, then I guess I'm special. Maybe I have superpowers in my headphones. Okay, well, in other words, there's some choice language there. I want to play versus the Titans if I'm still here, says Jalen Ramsey. And all I care about is winning, which, I don't know if I buy that. It's not all he cares about. If he wants out and he wants a new contract. It's been a rough start for the Jags, of course. 0-2, losing Nick Foles. And while I thought Gardner Minshew played really well, I mean, as I think as well as could be expected, maybe even better than expected, against the Houston Texans in a game that they were in until the very end. I'm not sure what tells Ramsey that they can't win in Jacksonville. And again, 0-2 is not dead and gone. It's not dead and buried. But he's already deciding, this is it, I want out. Maybe he's just had enough in week two. But how did the word get out there? That's interesting. How did we find out that Jalen Ramsey wants a trade?
I didn't leak that information. Me and my agent, we are not the ones who leaked that information. And I was very strict about that because I did not want it to get out. And I didn't want it to be a distraction. I didn't want everybody asking my teammates all type of questions throughout the week. So let me be real clear about that. I was not the one, me and my team, we was not the one to leak that information.
I can believe that. I don't believe that he cares about being a distraction, but I can believe that he's not the one who leaked it. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the Jaguars. And then the part about getting the two first round picks and putting that out there. It would be fascinating to see if there's a team that bites on that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Minkah Fitzpatrick move was one that was questioned a lot in the last 24 hours, and varying opinions. I've heard everything from one end of the spectrum to the other. This is a stupid move by the Steelers. They just lost their star quarterback for the year. Why are they going all in? To the opposite. They believe in Mason Rudolph. They don't think that the season is a wash without Ben. I mean, we'll find out how quickly Rudolph can get acclimated, but they should have a solid run game, and they obviously have some weapons for him to throw to. And so instead of closing up shop and living to fight another day, waiting for Ben to come back, instead they go out and they trade a first round pick for a member of their defense. And Mike Tomlin's not backing down on the move either.
We did our due diligence. We looked at Minkah. We knew it was somewhat of a pipe dream because of his global position in the draft. But having gone down there for both Alabama Pro Days and interviewed him and spent time with him, it really made this process a clean process for Kevin and I in terms of decision making.
So they're good. They're excited to bring in a new member of the defense, one that they think can shore up that side of the football. And they definitely need it. That's been their weak point. That's been their Achilles heel the last several years, specifically the secondary. Now, what about Mason Rudolph? I think what stood out to me is that his Steelers teammates, praised how prepared he was to get on the field with very little notice when Ben exited the game in the second quarter on Sunday. Now, even though Ben was complaining about elbow pain going back to the season opener in New England, and he was shaking that arm between snaps against the Seahawks, there's no way that Rudolph could have known when it was coming. And yet his teammates were impressed with how prepared he was when he hit the field. Of course, it's entirely different when you start and the huddle is all yours. But it's good news that James Conner's knee injury is not serious, not expected to keep him on the shelf. And so, in my opinion, the absolute best gift the Steelers can give Mason Rudolph is not just the O-line in front of him, which is generally good, but also a really healthy run game.
He's more than ready for the opportunity. He aches for Ben, but at the same time, he's excited about having an opportunity to deliver for his teammates and ready to prove that his overall readiness.
Interesting to think about the possibilities. A lot of quarterback changes already. And the average age of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL is dropping drastically. With no Drew Brees for roughly the next 6 weeks, he's 40. No Roethlisberger, who's 37. Nick Foles is not old, but He's also not a spring chicken in his rookie contract. So he's out. Manning, of course, being 38. Really interesting the way the landscape has changed. So I actually enjoyed writing about it and kind of going through some of the possibilities. So I'd love it if you check out that column on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up, we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Adam Vinatieri explains where he's at, his mindset, as he continues to kick for the Indianapolis Colts. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat ten. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TV of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Seattle Seahawks.
Russell takes the snap, looks far side, throw downfield. He's got Metcalf! He's got it! Touchdown, Seahawks! DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck! Perfect pass by Russell Wilson, a 28-yard strike. That's number 201 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. What a Hall of Fame career he is having, and he's got another 20 or 30 years left. 27-19, the Seahawks leading.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45-40. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. Holy goodness smokes.
The Cleveland Browns.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Set out of the gun. He will back to throw. Lobs it in the end zone looking for T.Y. Touchdown! Touchdown, T.Y. Touchdown, I.N.D.Y. A 4-yard touchdown pass, Jacoby Brissett to T.Y. Hilton. That's a career-high touchdowns in a single game for Jacoby Brissett with 3. And the Colts are right back on top. They have the lead now. It's 19-17.
Pretty amazing some of the touchdowns that we saw week number 2. And as we request your votes, your final votes for Touchdown Tuesday, your opportunity to hear those moments yet again. Julio Jones with a 54-yarder on Sunday Night Football against the Eagles on the Falcons Radio Network. T.Y. Hilton with the go-ahead touchdown for the Colts as they win their first game post Andrew Luck on the Colts Radio Network. Also, Odell Beckham Jr.'s return to MetLife Stadium. And that call now with Jim Donovan on the Browns Radio Network, his career-long 89-yard catch and run for a score. And then 300 yards and 3 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. The Seahawks win in Pittsburgh, where they have not had success in the past. Steve Rabel on the Seahawks Radio Network. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Delaware. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. It's one of your biggest fans tuning in again because we're into football season.
That is great. Thank you.
First of all, I was going to make a statement and I was going to ask you a question. The statement is what you've been talking about. I don't understand where these guys are coming from, these cancerous punks. This kid has got a problem with how they play defense, okay, in Jacksonville. He wants to go to another team, okay, assuming they're going to play the defense the way he wants to play it. And not only that, he wants to win. He needs to go play golf, okay, or an individual short sport. He doesn't run the show. He's in a team sport. Now he's a cancer. They're not going to get 2 number ones for him, and he's going to have to sit there and play out the season. I hope that's exactly what happens to him. What do you think?
I don't think they're going to bench him, but I think they're making it pretty clear that the price is extremely high. At the same time, looking at it from the Jaguars' perspective, very often when you do have a player that is speaking his mind and making waves, I don't know that I'll go so far as to say he's a cancer. I don't know that he's, you know, that he could overpower the other veterans in that locker room, because there are some veterans in there. And I think that Doug Marrone is a strong leader as well, a strong voice. He's not going to be pushed around. But I do agree with the distraction part for sure. And I don't think you can have it both ways. You either have to be part of the solution or you are part of the problem. And so I don't know that they're going to get two first round picks. But I do think that in setting the price really high, they're also sending a message to the rest of the NFL and maybe to Jalen Ramsey's camp too. So they don't have to do anything, right? He doesn't have them over a barrel. If he doesn't like it, then I guess he can take himself elsewhere and not play. But as you point out, he's not in charge. Right now he's under contract, and if he wants to play, he's going to have to play for them unless they can get what they desire in return. So I think that the way that they've set this up underscores the point that you make, which is that Ramsey's not in control here.
You got that right. I feel bad for Eli Manning. You know what I mean? If this is last year, I really think he belongs on the field. You know what I mean? I don't think this young kid needs to be on the field in this season where he can learn a lot from being on the sidelines. You were exactly right. If something happens to him and Eli's got to go back in due to injury, how would you feel? I mean, I wouldn't feel good about the situation.
I feel like Eli will take any opportunity to go back out there and start. I mean, just knowing how much Eli loves the Giants and how disappointing this is for him, I feel like we know from his personality, he'll do anything that he possibly can to help the Giants win. And I'm sure the losing is just as painful for him as it is for everybody else associated with that organization, because this is the end of his career, right? The last 6 out of the last 7 years, they've started out 0-2, and they've only sniffed the playoffs. What is it, one time over the stretch here? I can't remember exactly when their last playoff appearance was, but they certainly, this is not how he wants to go out either. So I bet he would like to be back on the field, though you wouldn't wish injury on anyone else. But it's kind of interesting, even inside Daniel Jones' family, it's a surprise that he's starting this quickly, not to mention the Giants locker room. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. Actually, one of their the members of their defense, one of their linebackers, is talking about how shocked he was by this move to Jones. So the timing to me is weird, because I don't know why you would give up on the season at 0-2. And among the things that you can change, I feel like there are other more pressing issues for the Giants on the defensive side of the ball than on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, Amy, I'm widowed with no kids, and I'm a sports junkie, and you start my day. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Good to hear from you. Thanks for listening in Delaware. 855-212-4227. Some of you, while you are talking about football on my Twitter, you're also sending me your photos of your pups. And this is my fault, because I was procrastinating on Tuesday while I was supposed to be writing. And my dog, after we had gone and taken a walk, which we always do in the afternoon, that's another way that I procrastinate, but I do have to actually walk the dog. She was laying in my front door, so it was really nice. It wasn't humid, and the temps were in the low 70s in my neighborhood. And she was laying in the front hallway in the foyer, and she just looks so pretty. And always when she's sleeping, I have the urge to hug her. I don't know why. It's the same thing with like a sleeping baby, right? You're not supposed to pick up a sleeping baby. Leave the sleeping baby where it is. But I always want to go disturb the dog and give her a hug, because she looks so cute when she's sleeping. And so she tolerates me generally pretty well. And so I took a photo of her and posted it. And a lot of you are replying with your own photos of your pets. So yeah, they're just amazing how they worm their way into our hearts. Crazy how much I love that dog. So I appreciate your tweets and your responses, A-Law Radio. And if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can do that on either Twitter or Facebook. Coming up next, you will hear from the father of Daniel Jones, who I thought had a pretty interesting response to his son taking over as the starting quarterback.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our hump show, middle show of the work week. We're closing in on the dead center of the work week, and top of the hour, we'll have all of the QB news, including the latest from Carolina, where the Panthers are in a holding pattern, as well as the response from inside the Giants locker room about Eli Manning getting benched and Daniel Jones, the rookie, taking over as their quarterback. We also know the latest on the Jets QB room. And talk about transition. Oh, my goodness. It's almost unbelievable. I mean, I've covered this sport a long time. And for those of you who have followed the sport a long time, you know just how precarious the quarterback position is. And as I was writing my weekly column, I was thinking about the number of teams over the last couple of years who can identify with the Steelers and the Saints. And obviously, it's a really long list. I mean, just from week number one, the Jaguars know exactly what the Saints are going through right now. But think about the 49ers, who are so thankful to have Jimmy Garoppolo back and healthy. It was week three last year when he tore his ACL. The Eagles twice in the last two seasons have had to finish out the year without their franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. I mean, the Redskins don't have Alex Smith, and he may never play again. And so they're kind of going through that quarterback carousel. Plus the Packers have lost Aaron Rodgers to broken collarbones a couple times. Last year, he played hurt most of the year. The Bengals. I mean, that's just a short list of teams in the last 3 years who have had to deal with serious QB injuries. And so sometimes it's just a matter of spinning that wheel. And I know that it's been drastic to start the season. So I'm hoping that we get kind of some calm and some peace at that position, and that we don't have to deal with any more of these. But that's not generally how it works out. Sunday, there is an NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, you have Patrick Mahomes, reigning NFL MVP, and the Chiefs opening their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the 2-0 Baltimore Ravens. Then Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seattle Seahawks. It is a full day of football, and it starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today on CBS. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And I will do the QB news after the top of the hour, but I did promise I want you to hear from Steve Jones, who's the father of Daniel Jones, the rookie who will take over for the New York Giants. He was a guest on Sirius XM NFL Radio with his reaction and Daniel's to being named the Giants starter.
I think he is surprised it came earlier, you know, this early in particular. And we all are, but I guess he knew that was a possibility, and, you know, he's there, so he's sensing it and feeling it, you know, minute to minute, where the rest of us are literally on the outside. So, I think he's surprised that it came this week versus another week much later. I guess it would be a surprise any week it happened, but especially this one.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. It's interesting to hear the family say that Daniel's surprised. And obviously, he wouldn't be talking if his son didn't know, or if he wasn't familiar with his son's emotions. At least I hope he wouldn't. I guess there are some parents that would, but I'm going to assume he's speaking with his son's knowledge and permission. That's Steve Jones on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Yeah, I don't think 0-2 is dead, gone, and buried, but I do think it's a trigger for the Giants because it's the sixth time in seven years that they've started 0-2. And maybe, we don't know this for sure, maybe Pat Shurmur was really darn close to making this change before the season started anyway, and now they've decided that while it's not Eli's fault that they've begun the season 0-2, that you might as well get a jump start on the future. And who knows, maybe the extra energy and athleticism that he brings to the position could change things. It doesn't change the defense. These quarterbacks don't play defense, so maybe the defense can buck up a little bit. The season is not lost. But I understand why sometimes you make a change and it's almost like throwing a piece of spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks. In the case of the Giants, they may feel like, what do we have to lose now? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if you saw this, but from inside the NFC East division, DeSean Jackson is out for a couple of weeks with an abdominal strain. It just seems like it's a repeating pattern for the Philadelphia Eagles. What did someone call them on the show last night? We were talking about TV show names or TV lines that would describe your football team. And we had multiple listeners say ER for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, the way that they lost so many players on Sunday night was it's kind of mindful of what's happened with them the last couple of years. Thankfully, Carson Wentz is still throwing his body around like a crazy man. But the receiving core has been depleted for sure. And one note from the Super Bowl champs, the New England Patriots, they've lost yet another member of their offensive line. And this time it's Isaiah Wynn, who's been put on IR, already without Marcus Cannon, trying to figure out what works. And so that's one area for the Patriots where they're going through some transition and trying to fix that O-line, obviously really important in front of Tom Brady. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Adam, who's listening in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, good morning. It's football season again, and I have to say, you carry me through my mornings from Sunday until I get back home Wednesday.
Awesome. Glad to keep you company.
Yeah. Listen, I've been listening to all this talk about the quarterbacks, and no secret, mine is the Carolina Panthers. I was a Panther fan before Cam Newton. But all of this talk about him, you don't hear what really goes on with him. He's never had a decent – well, the only defensive offensive line he had got destroyed against Denver. He's never really had a good defensive line. They haven't put good receivers around him. I mean, top-notch receivers. This little core he got now is okay. But I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. The team just has not done what they should have done to help this guy if he's going to be their franchise quarterback.
Did you say the defensive line?
No, I said the offensive line.
Okay. I guess I misunderstood you, because I was going to say the front seven on that Panthers defense has been one of the best in the NFL during the course of Cam Newton's tenure. I mean, I think Christian McCaffrey's pretty darn good. He's one of the best out of the backfield in the NFL. I know what you're saying about not necessarily having a top flight wide receiver. I mean, we kind of judge receivers, Julio Jones being in that same division, but Odell Beckham Jr. and I can go on and on about some of the top receivers, Antonio Brown, who's obviously been in the news. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, they've won multiple division titles since he's been there. As you point out, they went to a Super Bowl. I mean, you can't blame the Panthers for running into the buzzsaw that was the Denver Broncos defense that year. I mean, the Panthers were, what, 15-1, and he claimed the NFL MVP. So I think that they have put pieces around him, and the defense has been really good. Last year was his injury. I mean, that's very often the case with teams that are built around a quarterback, and that's the Panthers. Like many other teams, it's not just the Panthers, but the idea that the Panthers go as Cam goes, I mean, that's fairly standard. So they kind of fell off that cliff last year after his shoulder injury, and I hope that he can get back to being 100%. It's a long season, so if he were to miss a game, it wouldn't be the end. But, you know, that division's wide open, so they obviously want to take advantage of that.
Okay, that's true. You have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Adam. Good to talk to you. Drive safely. 855-212-4227. DJ Moore, I think, is really good, too. You know, Greg Olsen, the tight end for the Carolina Panthers, is a veteran who's been there a really long time. And when he's healthy, which is most of the time, I mean, he's missed a couple of games here and there, but, they brought in Chris Hogan. So they do have weapons, Christian McCaffrey being weapon number one, of course, out of the backfield, both rushing and receiving. And I think their defense is always pretty scary. As long as Luke Kuechly is roaming the middle and calling out the signals. I don't know. I really think this is about Cam. Cam's got to get right. He's got to get right. And the reports out there are that he does not want to run. That he doesn't want to put himself in a position where he could get hurt again. And we'll give you the latest on him with QB News after the top of the hour. But there's a very real possibility that he could miss week number three. Let's quick talk to Jared, who's in Ventura, California. Jared, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, I just wanted to see what you thought about Jalen Ramsey and possibly joining the Ravens with the Earl Thomas safety position, how impactful that could be for the Ravens team going forward with the lethal offense and then having a lethal secondary.
Well, I don't think the Ravens are going to give up two first-round picks for him. I'm not sure any team is going to give up two first-round picks. I could be wrong. There could be a team that decides he's worth it and takes a flyer, but I suspect that the Jaguars are setting the price that high because they are shooting for the sun, the moon, and the stars and might take less, so we'll see what the bids are. There are teams that are interested. The reports are there are multiple teams who've inquired about him, but two first-round picks, Jared? What team out there has two first-round picks?
Yeah, I don't want to give that up, but I would like to have Jalen Ramsey.
Well, of course. No, I get you. The other thing that I worry about, and I don't know that I would worry about this with every guy, like, for instance, not a necessarily a Minkah Fitzpatrick, but with Jalen Ramsey, he's a really strong personality, and he makes it clear when he's unhappy. And I would worry, I would at least give it a thought if I were a general manager out there. How will this affect my team's chemistry? And do we have strong enough personalities in our locker room that can shout him down, so to speak? And I kind of feel that way about the Jaguars, but he just keeps talking. So he says he doesn't want to be a distraction, but that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, but you're coming from the Jaguars. Like, it's a different thing going to the Ravens. The Ravens are a defensive, not just team, but organization. Like, you're coming into one of the best defenses of all time. And
of all time?
I just feel like you have something to live up to when you come to Baltimore. That's the only thing I, like, think, like, it can, like, just like Antonio Brown going to the Patriots. Like, they don't need you. You need them. You know, and it can make you better if you're willing to do it.
I mean, the Jaguars' defense has been pretty stout for the last few years, obviously, to overcome what were the shortcomings with Blake Bortles at quarterback. But I understand what you're saying. There's a standard there, and the team is 2-0, and so you kind of have to fall in line if you want to be part of it. I just think the price is really high right now. I don't think there are many teams out there who could afford the two first-round picks. So we'll see. We'll see if the Jags are willing to settle for something less. Jared, thanks so much for your phone call. Coming up next, your QB news, the latest on one Cam Newton, who has been a major topic of conversation to start the season. And I am a terrible host. I keep forgetting to let you hear from Adam Vinatieri. We'll do that as well. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.